So glad that you have tuned in to join us this Sunday. We hope you've had a good week, but regardless of wherever you're coming from, whatever kind of week you've had, we believe that God wants to speak to you through this live stream. We're not just here putting on a show. We truly believe that the Holy Spirit can work through the things that we say and sing and do together to reach across screens and into your life. And so it's our prayer that would be true for you as you watch today. If you are new and you've just kind of joined in, we'd also really love to connect with you. And so if you go to our website, there's a little section in the menu that just says, "I'd love to get connected." And there's a contact form. You can fill that out, or you can email us at office@sandwichbaptist.org, and we'd love to get in contact with you that way. But yeah, let us know that you've been tuning in, that you're part of our community online, and we'd love to connect with you in that way. Regardless, we hope you have a great service. Thanks so much for tuning in today. For you this week, one of which being Pack to School and Love in the Laces has launched. Shiloh, give us an update.
That's right. So Pack to School and Love in the Laces is back. If you haven't signed up yet, you still have a few weeks. You can sign up in person at the back of the service, or if you're one of our online folks, you can sign up on our website. There are two big blue buttons, one for Pack to School and one for Love in the Laces. Let's send kids back together, ready for school.
Awesome. And for the youths in the his house, we've got an event happening this Wednesday, August 10th at 6 p.m. What are they going to be doing, Shiloh?
Apparently they're playing water paint guns, whatever those are. It sounds messy, but they're meeting at Northridge School, as you said, 6 p.m. Wednesday, August 10th.
That sounds awesome. You are not going to want to miss that out. And just a reminder for the rest of you guys, next Sunday, August the 14th, we're going to be doing a barbecue at both of our campuses again. So you're not going to want to miss out on that. Check it out. Come by, have a barbecue, see some people, hang out, have some fun. It's going to be a great time. We got lots of stuff happening this summer. So for any questions, you know the drill.
Join us or email us at office@sanishbaptist.org.
You betcha. Have a good week, guys.
Well, good morning and welcome. We're so glad that you guys have joined us. It's looking like a beautiful day out there. And we're going to have a lovely time worshiping our God together on the traditional territories of the Wissanich and Lekwungen people. I'm going to invite you to stand as we get started. And I would love to read this call to worship from Psalm 111. And it says this: Come and praise God in the company of God's people. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Great are the works of God, full of glory and majesty. Our God is gracious and compassionate. Our God is merciful and forgiving. Our God is faithful and trustworthy. Our God is just and good. So come, let's worship God together, for he is worthy of all our praise. He is worthy. So let's start off by singing, Jesus, let your kingdom come here. Let's sing it. Jesus, let your kingdom come. Your will be done here in us, Jesus. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Where you are, so teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Let's sing that again. Teach my song. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand all for you, Jesus, you're my hope. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? Would our could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. Sing that again. Let's really declare this verse. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Above the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Oh, no. Oh, sing that chorus one more time. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Because hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. And God, we do praise you because you are our living hope. You're not just an idea of hope, a concept of hope, but you are a living, breathing God of hope, that you came to earth, you became one of us to die so that you could bring us the hope of being in right relationship with you. And so God, we praise you, we give you glory, we thank you that you care for us, that you speak to us, that we can know you. Yeah, we just give you honor and glory, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, you can have a seat if you're in the room, and kids, if you're in the room, you guys can head to the back and find Shyla, and she would love to take you up to your kids' program where you guys can continue to worship there. And I am going to pop down here, and we're going to read some scripture together. And so, many of you, if you were here last week, you'll know that we have started a new sermon series called Encounters with Jesus. And we're just looking at different stories in Scripture that show Jesus interacting with different people and different encounters that people have had with Jesus. And so, last week we were looking at Mary and Martha, and this week we're going to be looking at Nicodemus. This is from a portion of Scripture. Actually, I don't have... There you go. John 3, verses 1 to 15. And so we're going to read the story of Nicodemus from there. It says this. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Kim. We were singing there, and we were singing a song, you know, "Lord, I Need You," and I got all pastoral. God, there's probably people in this room that need you, that need you. And then as we were singing that, and I'm probably going to get emotional because I got emotional there, I realized, God, I need you. I'm not just a pastor. I don't just play a role here. I need you as well. And then we got into that great song where we were declaring that we've got a God who is a living hope. And I thought, man, do I need that. And I'll bet you there's some people here who need that too. And some of you I know are in the midst of grieving. There's been some loss lately. Some of you are celebrating 35, and Carla and I, 36 years of marriage, and we celebrate. Some of you are just facing things that you're just not even sure what it really is. But I'm just here to echo what we sung. I'm here to echo the words of our Savior, that He is a living hope, and He's here for you, and He wants to meet with you. And so I just want to spend a few minutes in prayer around that this morning before we get into this, and I'm really hoping that we continue to encounter Jesus as we go through the service. Hey? God, thank you so much for just the reminder of song, the truths of who you are put to music that sometimes can just, you know, break through defenses, can say things in ways and in rhythms that maybe just purely the spoken word can't. And this morning, Lord, you just were just saying gently to me this morning, just reminding me that I need you and that you're here for me. And oh yeah, I'm a pastor, God, but I got a whole bunch of people here who I can't meet their needs, but you can. And so, Lord, I just continue to pray for this church, God, that we might discover you in fresh ways, in new ways, in today ways, in tomorrow ways. God, I lift those who are just facing loss or grieving. So many different forms. Loss of life, maybe loss of job. Some dreams, some hopes have just kind of have crumbled. Some things have taken place that have just taken their breath away. Spirit of God, would you touch each one? As this text reminds us, the Spirit moves like the wind and can reach us all. Might be that true. Might that be true for us this morning? So thank you. This is your story, Jesus. Might you draw it in for us this morning? I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And my wife offered me a Kleenex before I came up, and I said, I'm all good, but she knows now I'm saying, could you sneak one up to me? It's nice to see everyone online. All right. So just one thing I want to say, thank you, sweetie. One thing I want to remind you about, at the end of the service today, you've got an opportunity to grab a pack for our pack to school, or possibly take a name of a young child, and we're going to help them get some footwear for starting up their school. We just love being able to partner with our One Up Society within Victoria, and we're also partnering with two other churches to be able to reach out and serve. And so if you were unaware, you are now aware, please go see the volunteers at the back of the auditorium in the fireside room following the service, and bless some young children this coming fall. Well, as Kim said, we're in this series exploring people's encounters with Jesus. Jesus made his purpose clear in that he was wanting to bring a new kingdom. Not a kingdom that we vote in every second or 4 years, or not a kingdom that somehow just sort of arises because of some aristocracy or, you know, some sort of birthright or anything like that, but a kingdom, and as we heard, born of the Spirit. And he brought it in, and he interacted with where it was real time, real life, real people, right? He came down from heaven, lived on this earth, and interacted with men and women just like you and I. He met with people where they're at. And he didn't just have sort of a singular message. Like, he really met people where they were at and interacted with the things that they were dealing with and struggling with. And so this summer, this morning, I want us to wrestle with this and see if we can discover the heart of the Savior from those stories, those encounters, and see how it connects with who we are and where we're at and what part of that journey that we are on. Today, as Kim mentioned, we're looking at a story about Nicodemus. We pick it up in John chapter 3. We drop in at John 7 and also in John 19 as we go through the story, the three places where Nicodemus is talked about. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a part of the ruling council. He was a part of what's called the Sanhedrin, which is essentially like, you know, Parliament, Supreme Court. Like, this is like top level elite sort of standard stuff. Not anyone can get there. Not everyone gets there. Most people don't want to get there. Like, it's right up there. It's tough. They kind of would represent the nation of Israel to the Romans. It was a weighty position and responsibility. He had authority over the people of Israel. And as you can imagine, there were men and women and leaders who were a little bit threatened by Jesus, a little angered with who Jesus was. If you've been around the stories at all, and maybe you've read some of the, we call them the Gospels, the stories of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, right? These were men who lived around the time of Jesus and walked with Jesus and interacted. They shared the stories. You would have seen some of the clashing taking place with some of the existing rulers and authorities, some of the religious people. Now, although some were threatened and some were angered, Nicodemus was actually kind of curious. And he was intrigued, captivated, if you like. He was kind of open to this whole thing. And it starts off, you know, Rabbi, we recognize that you must be from God. I mean, what you have done, what you have said, that's next level stuff. Haven't frankly seen anything like it before. Truthfully, not sure I agree with all of it, but you've got my attention. He definitely had his attention. He was curious, but he wasn't quite ready to go public with his curiosity. Did you pick that up? It was in the dark of the night. It was in the evening, right? Came and hung out with Jesus. Jesus, you're saying and doing things I've never seen before. But it conflicts with my worldview. It conflicts, truthfully, with my job, my position, and my status, but I'd like to talk. Can I come by late at night? Because I'm not sure I want anyone knowing that at this point. And you can understand that, right? I mean, because truly, this is not what Sanhedrin Pharisees, teachers of Israel, right, top-level people do. They don't go and kind of go, oh, this is interesting. This guy's about ready to tip our whole society on its head. Let's chat with him and see what he's got to say. No, they were defending their territory and trying to keep him at arm's distance and truthfully trying to shut him down. But there was something going on that made Nicodemus really curious. So Jesus, as is his style, kind of takes on the conversation. Nicodemus opens it up, right? Yeah, wow, man, you're a teacher who's from God. No one could perform the signs and wonders you're doing. Man, if God weren't with him. And Jesus just kind of jumps right in and he goes, okay, let's do this. Very truly, I tell you. Now, I don't know if you noticed or not, but three times in there it says very truly. That's kind of like, hey, gentle tap in the chest. Listen up. This is very important. It's kind of like, you know, we joke about how when mom calls you by your full and middle name and all of that, it's like, attention, listen up, right? That's kind of what was going on here. Like, this is very important. Like, look at me, dial in. Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Did Nicodemus ask him that question? No, he hadn't even asked a question yet. He was just kind of opening up his opening, you know, remarks and just sort of going, you are amazing, you are this, you are that, and now you're confusing, truthfully. What? How can someone be born when they're old, Nicodemus asked. That doesn't make any sense. Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. He's right. What is going on here? What is happening? And Jesus is starting to implement something, and he's starting to push at Nicodemus' understanding of what this kingdom should be, what this kingdom's going to look like. Nicodemus is missing the point. It's very much like you and I at times. We read and we just can't quite get it. And he's struggling to find the truth of what is going on here. Jesus goes on to say, listen, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. Unless someone is born of water and spirit, they can never enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is still struggling a little bit. What is really taking place here? What are you talking about? And what is happening is Jesus is coming to Nicodemus. He's recognizing his position. He knows that he knows a lot. But he's a little confused. He doesn't have it all figured out. And you see, so Jesus is coming, he's challenging Nicodemus, and what he's doing there is he's challenging some of his thinking. He's challenging some of his bias. He starts talking about the kingdom of God is of another kingdom. There is a spirit that needs to be involved in this kingdom. There needs to be a new birth, not a birth of jumping back into the womb and heading out for the second trip. Like that's... I shouldn't even talk like that. Sorry, ladies. That is just, what was I thinking? But this is not about heritage, right? This is not about history, family history for years. You know, we're this, and this, and therefore we're that. It's not about, you know, birth certificate. It's not about some sort of ownership of something because of, you know, living and practicing certain things. Jesus was saying this is much larger than that. Much larger than that. So much more all-encompassing. This kingdom of God is available to everyone. The whole world. And it's something from above. It's from the Spirit. It's not generated and started by humanity. It's generated, started, and continues, and will forever continue through the Spirit of God. Now, I just sort of get the impression, the feeling that Nicodemus is leaning in, right? Like he's confused. I sort of, you know, is he squinting a little bit? Is he kind of closing his eyes and holding his head and going, I don't understand, right? Been there? I mean, Jesus is going, Nicodemus, you're a teacher. How don't you get this? But I also think that Jesus understands how he doesn't get it. He knows how he's got to where he's got. And Jesus is going, you need to welcome the true kingdom of God. You need to welcome the Spirit into this as we move forward. Says it again in verse 11, the verily, verily, right? Mom speaking, Lindsay Todd, listen up. I know you've heard and you've seen and you recognize that this is hard, but you need to, come on, Nicodemus, you need to open up to the Spirit. Now, it's interesting. He goes in and he talks about these things. He's talking about, you know, new birth and the Spirit being wind and who knows exactly where, but that certainly tells us that the Spirit can go where it needs to, just as the wind can. Yeah, there's some things that you're not going to understand, and you need to recognize and you need to be open to the Spirit. I'm trying to speak of earthly things, and you don't believe. How are you going to understand the heavenly things? And then Jesus goes, I got something. I got a story that will make sense to Nicodemus. And he reminded Nicodemus of the story. This is the Israelites. They're wandering through the wilderness. You may remember the story in the Old Testament. And they were getting, like, bitten and killed by snakes, which is a lot of your absolute freakish nightmare. Like, you don't want me to go there. And I get it. My dad, you're watching, I know. You're going to love this part, right? Yeah, snakes, yeah, right? So Moses, what did he do? Moses, you might remember that, good leader. God, what do we do? This is crazy. What is taking place? Like, People are dying here because of these things. And God said, okay, what I need to do is fashion a bronze snake, put it on a pole. And if people look up to this, do you remember this? Right? They'd be saved. If they were bitten, they looked up and they would be healed. And Nicodemus is going, okay, I remember that story. This is interesting. And Jesus finishes there in verse 14. So the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. And then Nicodemus goes away. We don't know. We don't know exactly where it goes. There's no more record. At this point, Nicodemus's head is spinning a little bit. He's trying to justify and bring into sync what he has grown up with, his way, his thought pattern, his rational thought, his reasoning, right? His hereditary, you know, pattern of life. And now Jesus is coming and is going, no, not quite. Listen in, lean in a little bit. Well, like Nick and his early hearers and followers, there's times where we can be like them and we might hear things and God says, well, you know, you've heard it said, but I tell you. There's this kind of talking that goes on, but God comes in and wants the Spirit to go, but there's something different here. And I think one of the things that the story is trying to help us to understand is that sometimes we have the you've heard it said part down, but we need the but I tell you bit from the Spirit. Like the new way, the new kingdom way of thinking. So Nick kind of fades in the background. So if you got a Bible and you want to turn to John chapter 7. Kind of move forward a little bit. And in John chapter 7, verses 50 to 52, we find this little clip with Nicodemus. And what's happening is they're, you know, the temple guards there, the chief priests, and they're trying to figure out a way to capture Jesus and get rid of him. Remember I said that at the beginning, that was their whole deal. They were threatened. They didn't want him to be a part of this thing, and so they're trying to get rid of him. And you get down to verse 50, and it goes, Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier, right? So this is the Nicodemus who came at night. He was curious, but he needed it to be private, right? Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier, and who was one of their own number, right? So he was a part of that crew, asked, does the law condemn a man without first hearing him to find out what he has been doing? Now, this is interesting to me. You see, Nicodemus was defending Jesus without actually personally sort of tipping his hand, if you like. He was kind of cautious, but kind of public. Like, is this really right? Don't we care about right? I don't think this is right. Would we really do this? Is this who we are? Right, like doing all of this kind of stuff. I don't know if you've ever sort of done those kinds of things before. You kind of float an idea out there sort of as if it's somebody else's, but you kind of think it's a good idea, but you're not quite ready to put your name on it. Right? Never done that? Okay. So this is kind of like 2+ years later. Nicodemus has been on a journey. He's been thinking. And he's wondering, is this right? What are we doing here? What's going on here? So he's not quite willing to go. I think back of the story of the centurion who was interacting with Jesus, and Jesus said, you just need to believe. And do you remember what he said? Well, I believe. Could you help me in my unbelief? Right? Like, I think that's what was going on with Nicodemus. He's getting there and he's going, you know, I believe, but man, I've got some things I don't quite understand. Could you help me with that? Could you teach me that? Definitely testing things out. It's a big step. It's a big step to go public with something that is so personal, but also something that is so life-changing. It's a big step. I mean, his lifelong worldview, his response to all those things, to life and how what it dealt was in one way. And Jesus was coming and going, there's another way. And what do you think of that? Like, listen, this isn't like, okay, do we go to Durant's Lake or Theatres this afternoon? Okay, it's not that. It's not, should we go to Binfor or Big Will? By the way, it's always Binfor. But anyhow, it's not Timmy, Starbucks, or Cherry Hill. This is a lot more than that. This is, I was going this way, and now I'm going this way. This is what Jesus was talking about when he was talking about this new kingdom. That it's from above. That it's from the Spirit. So Nick was was cautiously curious for sure, and I really do believe that his convictions were transforming. I think the base of the who and the why and the what and the when of his life was starting to be shaken and was starting to change. He was being transformed, if you like. Many of Nick's contemporaries, I mean, they weren't. They were still threatened. They were trying to figure out how they could, you know, get rid of Jesus. There was no doubt about that. And he hears I'm on trial. And he goes, this is not right. Now, this is an interesting part of the story for me as well. We move forward. In John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verses 38 to 40. We discover these words. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, he feared the Jewish leaders. Did you catch that? Did you notice that? There are people. It wasn't just Nicodemus. There were lots of folks. Like, this is a big deal. But he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. And he was accompanied by our guy, Nicodemus. The man who had earlier visited Jesus at night, Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs, and we could talk about that. There's all kinds of neat stuff there. But what I just love about this story is just seeing the progression of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus has clearly turned a corner on his personal convictions. His thinking has changed. It's now personal, and therefore it's public. This kingdom can't just be held within himself. He's completely convinced, and he's changed. The teaching is clear. Seeking God. Like really seeking God. This is what Nicodemus was doing. At personal expense. This was Nicodemus leaning in and going, yeah, this Jesus was talking about this spirit idea, this idea that this kingdom comes from heaven, that it's not just an earthly thing, that it's a work of God. This spirit, although hidden, was working in lives. And it was working in his life. And see, the question we have to ask ourselves today is it working in our life? Or have we got it all figured out? Or are there still some things that, like, God's a pretty big God. Are there still some things that we need working out? Are we willing to admit that? This story has always resonated with me because when I was a young guy and I was, I don't know, do you learn to become a pastor? I guess that's what you're doing when you're going to college and working summers. Like, they're giving you responsibilities you have no right having at 19. But, you know, they're helping you. They're kind of, and I remember in particular, there was this one woman in the church who I really admired, and we had lots of, you know, fascinating and all kinds of interesting conversations about faith and everything. But one thing that I noticed in those conversations as I was growing, I was learning some stuff. Now, again, I was 19, 20, whatever, I was a young punk, right? But I was learning stuff. And I was studying, and so I guess that made sense, right? Bit of a sponge. But every once in a while, I would try to have a conversation with this person, and I would, you know, they would be saying one thing, and I'd be sort of saying something else, and I'd kind of go, are you sure about that? Like, in light of this, does that make sense? Are you sure? And, you know, because we were trying to have this conversation, at least I was, trying to have this conversation of discerning where the truth really lied or not. And this person made a comment to me that they could never change their convictions. Like, never. That it's not going to happen. I'm like, what? Inside, I was like, I don't understand that. Like, so you can never be wrong? That sounds a little scary. But what did I know? Again, 19, 20, punk kid. Just didn't seem right to me. So now I've had the luxury of sort of, if you like, sort of being able to sit back and watch different people over the years because I'm old now. And I've been able to watch people, myself included, and try to discover, you know, what was really happening. And as I watched this particular person's legacy, it was one of kind of low-level ugly, like bitter, frustrated. I'm like, honestly, like, not grace-filled at all. There was a crusty, sort of angry, critical spirit that just continued to grow in this person. And, okay, I've been crusty at times. I've been bitter at times. But there was no willingness at this point for this one person to kind of go, yeah, the spirit can teach me some things, can bump some corners off. Yeah, I probably haven't got it all figured out. There's probably some things about God I need to learn. There's probably some things I need to learn about how I respond. And this story, and that story, the Nicodemus story, and the story of watching someone else, and watching others, and watching my own life, and going, I want to be a lifelong learner. I want to be a person that discovers new and fresh things about our God and how he works and how he interacts. I want to know more of God. I have biases. I have corners that need to be shaped. And Nicodemus has displayed for us. And Jesus has told us that his spirit wants to work in you. That his spirit wants to bring the kingdom of God in and through your life. In and through the life of this church. In and through the life of the community in which you live. And I guess my question for you this morning as I settle sort of near the end of this is, what has God, Jesus, the Spirit been trying to work on you? Like, are you getting angrier around some things? Like, crustier? Maybe more bitter as you flip the pages of the calendar? Like, it starts early. It's not just a bunch of, you know, 58-year-olds who can do that, okay? But are you open? Do you have an open handedness about you towards the Spirit of God? Francis Chan, in his book on the Forgotten God, just this little line I just liked, and says, I believe he, and this is God, is calling us to live a life dependent on Jesus, a life that cannot be mimicked or forged. Right? A life that can only be lived when you're living dependent on the Spirit. And so that's my question for myself this morning. That's my question for us as a group today. Am I living by the Spirit? Am I walking by the light? And am I bringing my life more in line with the kingdom of God? Am I allowing God, the Spirit, to blow, to speak, to move? Am I working and striving to keep in step? Do you remember back earlier this year, Pastor Steve started that series on revival, and I was telling you about that old dude, Gamaliel. No one ever names their kid Gamaliel. But Gamaliel was an old dude who went, you know what? I don't know, but if it's of God, I don't want to stop it. I want to learn. I want to know more. This is what Nicodemus, this is what great men and women of God have done throughout the pages of church history. Let's join them, shall we? Could we do that? But you see, it starts right now, and it starts right here. And so this morning, just for a few moments, I'm just going to just quietly sit here and give you a chance to let God, through His Spirit, reach in and touch you in some way. And so there's just going to be these three slides that are just going to rotate through just with some questions that I thought were decent. They might not work for you. Let God give you the questions. It's all good. Are you personally seeking Jesus? Oh, you have in the past. I mean, you're here in August, so likely you are. But are you, or is it more of a heritage thing? Well, this is what my family does. No, are you personally seeking Jesus? Are you taking your doubts to Him, your questions, curiosities? Have you recently asked the Spirit to show you, to teach you, to transform your life? Do you feel like you can trust Jesus with all of your life? Have you? To change you. And listen, I know it's a little scary. And you might be feeling a little private about it. You might not be quite ready to go public, but I'm telling you, just keep seeking Him. So I'm just going to let these slides just rotate through. Just meet with God right now. Let the Spirit of God touch you, and then I will close in prayer, and we'll move forward. God, I want to thank You for Your Spirit, and it does not discriminate, that it moves, and it reaches out to each and every one of us, no matter our heritage. No matter our struggles or our doubts, God, thank you for that. You love each and every one of us desperately. And God, just in this story, the very thing that freaked out the early followers, the fact that, Lord Jesus, you died, was a visual reminder of the fact that you were raised up, just as that bronze serpent was raised up. And when Nicodemus heard that, he remembered your words. And it changed him. And he moved towards you. God, what is it that we need to see differently, that we might be able to move towards you with more abandon? What are the things that we're holding on to, that we're maybe afraid to let go of, and yet you tell us if we put you first, you will care for us? And so, God, thank you so much. This is an ongoing experience we're trying to have with you, that you would just continue to work in our life. Spirit of God, would you continue to move in this church? Bring your kingdom here on earth, from above, here on earth, as it is in heaven. God, thank you for that. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I invite you to stand as we close by singing, "Build My Life," of which the bridge just says, "I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken." So let's sing this song together. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show. Beside you, open up my eyes in wonder. So sing that bridge one more time. I will build my life. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Amen. Well, we're so glad that you've joined us this morning. And if you're new, we would love to connect with you. There are cards in the seats in front of you, or if you're online or just more digitally minded, you can go onto our website and you can connect on there. But we'd love to just get to know you, get to know where you're at. If there's ways that we can support you in your journey with Christ, we would love to do that. And one of the other ways that we can do that is pray with you. And so if you would like someone to pray with you, there will be people up at the front. I'll be available up at the front to pray with you if you would like to do so. And if you missed the offering plate or it caught you by surprise because I forgot to announce it, then you can also head to the giving station in the back or hit us up online and you can give that way. We're so grateful for those of you who do financially support us. Just as we go from this place, I want to leave us with this benediction from Numbers 6, 24 to 26, which says, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Amen. We'll go in peace and we'll hopefully see you next week.